And welcome to another edition of the Perfectly Lethal podcast, where we set out to find very interesting characters and bring them to the world. I think we have a very interesting character for you this week. We have a beard growing expert, Mr. John Beard. Welcome to the show, John.
Actually, I don't want to be rude, but it's just Mr. Beard. Not even my parents call me John, so if you just call me Mr. Beard, thanks. Glad to be here.
Point taken, but do your parents call you Mr. Beard also? That kind of seems kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, I legally had it changed when I was 18 to just Mr. Beard. I took the John out, so yeah, they call me Mr. Beard.
Okay, very interesting. You are a 27-year-old recent graduate of college.
Yeah.
Tell me, why did it take so long? Most people graduate when they're like 21, 22. I found it kind of odd that you took till 27 to graduate.
Well, it took me a while to figure things out. You know, especially in college, you don't always make the best decisions. And so, for a while, I was just a little lost and kind of got in with a rough crowd and, you know, wasn't doing the wisest things. So, that's why.
It's kind of interesting because a lot of times that happens at college and people get wrapped up in drugs and alcohol, you know, experimenting with things.
No, nothing like that. I experimented a lot with shaving and, that was just a really bad time in my life. So, but yeah, I figured it out and, you know, started growing that beard out and, you know, eventually graduated college. So that's what I needed to do.
So shaving was the dark times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just a messed up kid back then.
So, but you straightened your life around. You're currently in grad school.
Yes, I am. I am getting my doctorate in studying the effects of beards in 19th century America, specifically focusing on the Civil War, or as I like to call it, the Battle of the Beards. So, yeah, that's a lot of work, but it's challenging, and I'm just learning more about beards than I ever thought I ever would. So, it's been great.
The Battle of the Beards, because normally people associate the Civil War with states' rights and slavery. I have never really heard that outlook on the Civil War.
Yeah, those slavery and states' rights, those are, obviously those go along with the Civil War. But, I mean, you look at the key players in the Civil War. You have Abraham Lincoln, you have Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant. What do they all have in common? Beard. And so, my theory is that it all started with, you know, differences in beards. And then, like any argument, you know, you have the one thing that starts it all off, and then, you know, people start bringing other things into it, like slavery and states' rights. So, I mean, really, it's the battle of the beards, and that's what I'm focusing on in the paper.
A new chapter of American history uncovered. This seems fascinating. I think the beards would be a serious enough subject to start a bloodbath of a war, but I guess, you know, brother against brother fighting, but I guess it is a very serious thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people take beard growing as serious as they should be. I mean, this is a serious, very serious issue, and, you know, it's definitely left its mark on our country's culture and history.
Yeah, because there's some places in the South that still have it out for the North, and it seems kind of odd that that's just over growing some beards, something everyone can do, or at least try to do anyways.
I think that's, you know, the greatness of our country is everyone, you know, has the freedom and the right to grow their beard in any way that they like. So, yeah, I think that's one influence of, you know, beard growing on our country, specifically through the Civil War. So,
very fascinating stuff. Do you also, while you're in grad school, do you also have a job?
I do. Yeah, a barista at a local coffee shop, the Bean Arena, and I do that for about, I don't know, 20 hours a week.
What are their thoughts on, because, you know, some places won't let you have facial hair where you work, or that they, I assume that they're fine with that.
I mean, I have to wear a beard net, like it's like a hair net around my beard, but, you know, I can look past that.
It's the things you'll do to get some money. The Beanerino, that's a very interesting name. Is it mostly a college kind of place, or?
I mean, we have a little bit of everything. We have the college kids. We have the old folks that have nothing better to do. So, I mean, yeah, you know, it's a nice brew, if you will, of different people.
The online reviews, and you can search this online for the listeners at home. They have a lot of comments about. It seems that you have a little bit of a following. A lot of people commenting on the nice young man with the full beard, and I'm assuming that's you.
Yes, that would be me.
What a interesting thing to have people go on and set a review. The actual product, they're reviewing your beard. It must be some kind of beard.
It definitely is. I wish this was a television interview right now, so that people could, you know, fully grasp who I am and, you know, what I'm all about, because the beard is a huge part of my personality and my being, and it really attracts people, I think.
The shop also has a contest every October.
Yes.
You kind of fill us in on that.
Every October, or as we like to call it, Octobeard, we have I hold a beard growing competition, and people can just come in with their beards, and you know, we judge them, and well, I judge them, and then we name a winner. And it's always a lot of fun. We usually have a pretty good turnout. And, you know, there's just a lot of enthusiasm about it, so.
So, how many people per year do you think you get for this contest?
I would say between 20 and 25.
Huh.
I mean, it's a good turnout for, you know, being just a, you know, stuffer. There has been some complaints, in the past. We've had a lot of people who don't come back year after year. I think, you know, they're a little upset that I win it each year. You know, because I'm judging it, they think, you know, somehow that ruled me out of, you know, being in the contest and winning. But I'd say, hey, if you have a problem with it, step up the competition. So.
Well, that's interesting. You win your own contest.
Yeah, but I mean, who is more qualified to judge a beard growing contest than a beard-growing champion? I mean, am I right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You are a beard-growing expert. I guess it makes sense. Do you get ribbons or prizes?
Yes, well, we give out beads for people to put in their beard, you know, to kind of break them in, you know, to show, you know, I have a nice beard, and check out the beads in my beard, that sort of thing. So, yeah, first, second, and third place get those.
Huh. I've heard that I did hear a little bit about the controversy when I was doing a little research, and it seems that some fish fans said the next time that they, in this October, they're going to come and take you on. What do you think? Do you think you can still take them down? I mean, these are people that follow a band around all the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say bring it. I mean, I have no problem with, losing my first placeness to someone with a better beard. I think that's only fair. But, I mean, there hasn't been a better beard that's come along, so until then, I'm number one. But yeah, bring it on.
We'll definitely hear Perfectly Lethal have to cover that event, because I would be very interested to see the outcome of that one. You also run a website. And I found this very interesting. It's called Our Daily Beard. I kind of got on there, and there's...
It's www.ourdailybeard.com. We have, you know, related short stories, just all sorts of information, et cetera, for people to you know, stay up to date on what's going on in beard culture. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Check it out, ourdailybeard.com.
Yeah, I when I got on there, I saw one of your recent poems. I don't if you would mind sharing it with us. It's Ode to Beard number 227.
Yes, I wrote that last week. It's a new one. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah. I think our listeners would be very interested in it.
Okay. This is Ode to Beard 227. I'll just read the first couplet. My beard, my dearly beloved beard, though you may grow gray and white as we move through time and space, I am happy to have you by my side, or rather, on my face. And it goes on like that for, I don't know, like 6 or 7 more pages, so I'll just stop there.
It gives a pretty good sampling of the poetry that you've written. It's Ode to Beard number 227. Do you have 226 ones before? Have you written that many?
Yeah. I've been running this website for years now. I take them down after a couple of weeks, but yeah, the first 200 that I've written, I have compiled in a book of poetry that I'm getting published. So yeah, I mean, if you're interested, you can always buy that when it comes out.
You have a release date on it?
Not exactly. I mean, I've been talking to a few publishing companies, mostly Penguin Publishing, and so I'm just waiting for them to return my voicemail. But you know, hopefully in the next year or so, it's called To Beard or Not to Beard, and it's just, you know, 200 beard-related poems. So I'm excited about it. Hopefully everything will, you know, come together, and I'll be able to release that to the public. So we'll see.
That'll be a very specific target audience for To Beard or Not to Beard. But yeah, I think you might be onto something there. The poetry is very beard related. That's for sure.
With the title To Beard or Not to Beard, I think, you know, I'll get the people who have beards, the two beards. And then, I have or not to beard in there. So the people without beards can always read it and, you know, see what they're missing.
And covering all the bases.
I think it's pretty wide, the audience.
Is poetry something you've always been kind of interested in?
No. When I grew my beard out, it was a real muse for me. And, I needed an outlet for that inspiration, and it came in the form of poetry. So.
Do you have any favorites you kind of model yourself after?
Walt Whitman is a big one. He's a very nice bearded man. Harry Wadsworth Longfellow, Thoreau, Ginsberg, you know, all the great poets with beards have all been a huge inspiration to me. So.
Huh. So they have to have a beard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm intentionally prejudiced, but it just kind of happens that way.
It's kind of worked out that way. Do you have because we're kind of interested in music here, Perfectly Lethal. Do you have any favorite musicians?
I'm not a huge music person, but I definitely like ZZ Top. They're a big one for me.
Yeah, because of the beards, of course. Yeah, you're like a favorite album?
No, I mean, I don't think I really can remember any of their songs, but I've seen some of their press photos, and it's very impressive. So I think, for me anyway, that's enough to like a band.
Enough to be your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, they're by far my favorite. I don't know if I've ever listened to an album all
amazing.
Yeah.
So where did this all start? Where did the beard growing, where did it begin?
Well, I mean, as you know, my last name is Beard. I think that definitely influenced me. I can't really point to one specific time. I just always wanted to grow a beard. I remember for my fifth birthday, I asked my parents to give me a shaving cream Ken, which it's just a Ken doll that can grow a beard and then you shave it off. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I've always wanted one. And,
see.
You know, like I said, I went through that kind of dark time. Game of college where I was hanging out with people who shaved and I kind of, you know, got in that rut. But other than that, you know, I've been a beardy for life, so.
Oh, this is very odd. I've never heard of a doll that could grow a beard.
Well, I mean, I don't think you really understand, you know, you're not a beardy, so. I mean, no hard feelings, but, I'm going to have to go. That's my